This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: Iran dismisses the latest UN General Assembly's resolution on the situation of human rights in the country, saying it lacks legitimacy and credit. Asian stocks slide, extending sharp falls on Wall Street amid growing concerns about global recession. Also in the headlines, the U.S. Senate passes a record $858 billion annual defense spending bill that includes military aid to Taiwan and Ukraine.
Welcome to World News. We're live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you very much for joining us.
Our top story: Iran has slammed the latest resolution adopted by the UN General Assembly on the situation of human rights in the country, saying it lacks legitimacy and credit. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said the resolution, which was drafted by Canada and supported by European countries and Israel, reveals hypocrisy of its sponsors. He said instrumental use of international bodies to mount pressure on Iran is a brazen example of using human rights to achieve short-sighted political goals. Kanani said the sponsors of the resolution are among the violators of all the fundamental principles of human rights in the world. He added, instead of expressing hypocritical concern about Iranians' rights, those countries must stop hosting terrorist groups and not comply with the US's economic terrorism against the Iranian people. Iran has slammed fresh sanctions imposed by the European Council on Iranian individuals and entities. Tehran says the sanctions are a political show to put pressure on the Islamic Republic. European officials accuse Iran of what they term widespread use of force against protesters. And Tehran dismisses the accusation and says certain Western states are merely fueling the flames of violence inside Iran.
Iran has wrapped the European Union over anti-Tehran measures taken by the Council of the European Union. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian denounced, quote, certain political shows that have been put on display by the Council under the pretext of defending the issue of human rights. The European Council has imposed a slew of fresh sanctions against Iranian natural and legal entities. According to a statement issued by the EU foreign ministers, 20 individuals, along with one entity, the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, have been sanctioned over alleged human rights abuses. The bloc has also slapped sanctions on four more people and as many entities blacklisted over Tehran's alleged drone supplies to Russia. The bloc's new sanctions include asset freezes and travel bans to the EU. The ministers condemned what they called the widespread use of force by the Iranian authorities against protesters.
مداخلات غیر سازنده کشورها در امور داخلی جمهوری اسلامی ایران هم غیر قانونی است و هم
The European Union last month imposed sanctions on a number of Iranian institutions and individuals, including the 24-hour English language press TV news channel, over alleged rights violations following the recent foreign-backed riots in the country.
In the case of Iran, big tech is used as a weapon against Iranians. So Iranian voices don't come out. Iranians lose their, if they are opposed to the Western narrative, they get sanctioned. All of the Iranian media is sanctioned. Many individuals have lost their accounts. I have lost my Facebook and Instagram accounts. So these Western big tech companies, they cooperate with Western governments. But in Iran, these same media outlets make threats. They support, they help people make Molotov cocktails, and they help mobilize the rioters.
The facts are that several provinces in Iran have witnessed foreign-backed riots since September. The West has been actively pushing the so-called regime change agenda in the form of a hybrid war. Iran says the United States and Britain have been directly involved in what's been going on over the past few months. And Iranian security officials have seized considerable amounts of weapons smuggled into the country. The arms provided by certain Western and regional states, as well as spy agencies, were meant to stoke the unrest inside Iran.
Foreign-backed riots have hit various Iranian provinces since 22-year-old woman Mahsa Amini died at the hospital on September 16th, 3 days after she collapsed at a police station. An investigation has attributed Amini's death to a medical condition rather than alleged beatings by the police. The violent riots have claimed the lives of dozens of people and security forces while also allowing terrorist attacks across the country. In the last 2 months, the terrorists have set fire to public property and tortured several Basiji members and security forces to death. Western states have been hyper-aggressively pushing the regime change agenda in form of hybrid war, making a sheer mockery of international law. Authorities in the US and the EU have openly and brazenly instigated rioters in Iran through official and unofficial channels. Iran's intelligence ministry has said the United States and the United Kingdom were directly involved in the unrest, adding that dozens of terrorists affiliated with the Israeli regime and anti-revolution groups have also been detained in the unrest.
Online, the MEK organization that's funded by and supported by NATO. They've been teaching people how to make Molotov cocktails, how to use weapons, and they've been attacking police bases, military bases, and also we've had terrorist attacks alongside the Pakistani border in the no man land in Pakistan, and also in northern Iraq from Iraqi Kurdistan.
Iran says its enemies have waged a hybrid war against the Islamic Republic to weaken national solidarity and hinder the country's progress. Officials say huge amounts of weapons have been shipped into the country by Western and regional intelligence services to carry out terrorist attacks and conduct extensive psychological operations in order to stoke dissatisfaction amongst the Iranian people and make them accuse the Iranian administration for the growing insecurity.
Now, Iran and Russia have enhanced their mutual cooperation over the past years in defiance of Western sanctions, apparently worrying the West. In recent years, relations between the two countries have been developing in all areas, from trade to military deals. The outgoing year has particularly seen the strengthening of mutual cooperation in a number of strategic areas. Iran's ambassador to Russia elaborated on that at a press conference in Moscow.
While the West is expanding sanctions against Moscow and Tehran over their military cooperation, the potential for developing relations between the two countries is huge, since Russia and Iran are under tough Western sanctions and therefore have little to fear.
The will of our governments is interconnected. Our high-ranking officials and our peoples do not pay attention to the shouts of the entire West and continue to strengthen their ties and interaction.
At the press conference held in Moscow, Iran's ambassador to Russia summed up the outcome of relations between Moscow and Iran in 2022. He noted that Russia's ruble is used in more than 40% of trade between the two countries and that the Russian currency may become the main one in bilateral trade. According to his remarks, Tehran supported the idea of using the ruble as the main currency in regional unions such as the EAEU. He also referred to efforts to integrate the national payment systems MIR and Shetab as part of financial and economic cooperation between Russia and Iran. According to the Iranian envoy, Russia and Iran are seeking to reduce the dominance of certain currencies, including the dollar, in bilateral trade and economic relations. Jalali further said the automotive industry and space sector have become another field of cooperation between the two countries. In August, Russia launched remote sensing satellite Hayam into orbit on behalf of Iran.
As for our negotiations, I want to say that negotiations between our respective organizations in the field of outer space are ongoing on a regular basis.
Iran is investigating the possibility of producing cars jointly with Russia. Two leading automakers of the Islamic Republic, Saipa and Iran Hadro, took part in last summer's exhibition in Moscow and held negotiations with the Russian side. In addition to the joint production, the two countries are also discussing the possibility of sending Iranian cars to Russia. Russian and Iranian officials have time and again said that the two countries are determined to further expand bilateral cooperation. They have expressed confidence that the aim will materialize despite all the challenges the two nations might face, given the numerous capacities the two sides have. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Turning to other news now, Asian stocks plunge, extending falls on U.S. and European markets as fears of a global recession growth. Japan's Nikkei dropped by 1.5%. Sydney, Seoul, Singapore, Wellington and Taipei also dropped, among others. The losses came after all three main indexes on Wall Street tumbled Thursday, with the Nasdaq losing over 3%. Paris and Frankfurt plunged more than 3% as well. Global stock markets have tumbled as fears of a recession are growing, and that comes after the U.S. Federal Reserve on Wednesday hiked interest rates as expected and indicated that the rates would likely go higher than expected for an extended period of time. The European Central Bank and the Bank of England made similar moves as well. The Japanese government approves a major defense policy overhaul in the face of what it calls China's greatest ever strategic challenge to Tokyo. The defense shakeup is the largest in Japan in decades. It includes a significant spending hike amounting to 2% of gross domestic product by 2027. Japan says it will use the money to acquire what it calls counter-strike capacity, among other things. The moves are outlined in documents approved by the cabinet. The documents have expressed concern over Russia's military activities and its cooperation with China. They have also changed language on relations with China from partnership to relationship. Beijing has reacted, urging Japan to reflect on its policies. It has accused Japan of discrediting China. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate has passed next year's defense bill that authorizes a record $858 billion in annual defense spending. Senators passed the bill after it was approved by the House last week. It will now go to President Joe Biden to be signed into law. The bill includes a 4.6% pay rise for service members. It authorizes funding for purchases of weapons, warships, and warplanes. The bill also provides Ukraine with additional security assistance in its war with Russia and allocates more aid to Taiwan, whose ties remain tense with China. U.S. senators backed the bill by an overwhelming 83-11 bipartisan majority. The no votes came from a mix of liberals and fiscal conservatives. The liberals are opposed to the ever-rising military budget. The other group wants tighter controls on spending. EU leaders failed to agree on energy security measures necessary to avert economic disaster in the 27-nation bloc during 2023. At a summit in Brussels, they rubber-stamped an additional 20 billion euros in aid for Ukraine, despite calls for greater focus on the growing social crisis within the EU itself. Jerome Hughes reports from the Belgian capital.
As they came together for a summit in Brussels, EU leaders were acutely aware that energy storage tanks will run dry in the coming months. There are still major divisions in the EU over a gas price cap and a proposal to buy energy from international suppliers as one single customer.
It is important that we do not outbid each other as member states, but that we use the market power to purchase gas.
It's thought a deal might be finalised on Monday. There are plenty of other divisions within the 27-nation EU. Austria is blocking Romania and Bulgaria from the border-free Schengen area. Meanwhile, funding for Hungary is being withheld over rule of law issues.
Russia is blackmailing us every day. But if we start to blackmail each other, this is not good. And this is absolutely not good for European Union.
A dark shadow of corruption is hanging over the EU. It emerged last Friday that Qatar has been bribing politicians and officials.
This scandal is a very serious matter indeed, which can shake trust in democracy and the parliamentary system. Thus, it is good that the Belgian authorities are thoroughly investigating.
At their summit, EU leaders refused to be drawn on the question of possible sanctions against Qatar. However, they signed off on more sanctions against Russia and also Iran. The leaders agreed to provide at least 20 billion euro to Ukraine in 2023. Campaigners say they should be doing more for their own citizens.
So many people in poverty, like everything what's going on from the crisis from 2008 until now, nothing changed.
It's clear that things could soon get a lot worse if the EU fails to secure a reliable long-term energy source at the right price. The costly Ukrainian refugee crisis is also growing by the day. So the final EU leaders summit of 2022 has now concluded. Analysts say the unprecedented challenges they will face in 2023 could stretch the EU project beyond breaking point. Jerome Hughes, the European Council, Brussels.
And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
During the recent unrest in Iran, local officials have often mentioned two words, hybrid warfare, allegedly conducted by the U.S. and its allies. These hybrid methods of warfare have consisted of propaganda, deception, sabotage, and guerrilla military tactics. Of course, these methods have long been used to destabilize adversaries. What is new about them, seen in recent events, is their speed, scale, and intensity, facilitated by rapid technological support and global interconnectivity. Additionally, there is a high degree of concentration on an aspect called cognitive warfare. In cognitive warfare, the human mind becomes the battlefield. The aim is to change not only what people think, but how they think and act. Conducted successfully, it shapes and manipulates individual and group beliefs and behaviors to favor an instigator's tactical or strategic schemes.
They
increasingly widespread use of satellite networks, social media, and mobile device technologies is now enabling cognitive warfare as a new domain. The Islamic Republic of Iran is facing such threats and challenges by both state and non-state actors who use these media and tools to target political institutions, influence public mind, and undermine Iranian citizens' security. To analyze the effectiveness of this new warfare, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today.
The aims of cognitive warfare can be limited with a short duration, or they can be strategic, with several campaigns conducted over the course of decades. A single campaign could focus on the limited aim of disrupting entire societies or ethnic unions by seeding doubts about governance, destabilizing democratic processes, triggering civil disturbances, or instigating separatist movements.
In the past, a war scenario would happen and the media would interpret it in line with the power's desires. But after a while, the real battle took place in the media. Media would picture a fake battle, and based on that false image, the destiny of a country and a nation could change. We recently faced a new phenomenon called the color revolution or velvet coup. The media would set up a made-up scenario, and by showing that, they could change the destiny of a nation. This shows the growing importance of the media in the battle between nations and superpowers.
The advantage in cognitive warfare goes to whoever then makes the first move and chooses the time, place, and means of the offensive. Cognitive warfare can be done using a variety of adaptable paths and media sources. The openness of social media platforms allows adversaries to easily target individuals, selected groups, and the public through social messaging, social media influencing, selective release of documents, video sharing, etc. Cyber capabilities allow the use of spear phishing attacks, hacking, and tracking of individuals and social networks.
Barak Ravid, an Israeli contributing correspondent at the American news website called Axios, did some whistleblowing in a series of tweets. He stated that Mossad, a terrorist organization, asked the Iran International Satellite Channel to increase its anti-Iranian activities. Ravid said that Iran International Channel is the Mossad hand in Iran issues. Why would Mossad invest in a TV channel? Well, the reason is that the enemy wants to do its operations relevant to our authority, place and performance in the region, so we wouldn't have this position anymore, and it's using the media as part of its plan.
A couple of days ago, Iran Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian described the recent riots as a scheme by U.S. and some other Western governments to force Iran to make major concessions in the talks on the revival of 2015 nuclear deal. Amir Abdullahian pointed out that Iran is a democratic country. Amir Abdullahian added that Iran is a country that uses democratic process, adding that we hear and respond to the peaceful demands of Iran people. But we do not allow anyone to incite riots and carry out acts of terrorism in our country.
Our enemies like the U.S., European countries like England and Arab kingdoms that have committed many crimes against their own people and other countries. The supporters of Daesh planning for sedition had hired many people. Mrs. Clinton, in her book Hard Choices, says that we trained 5,000 Iranians. They were given guns, as John Bolton said, guns were distributed inside Iran, asking them to set banks or police cars on fire for a prize, paying them with cryptocurrencies. They provide motives for murders and terror. The death of Mahsa Amini was just an excuse. They would find another excuse if this hadn't happened.
During the last few months, different news agencies, including Western Persian language media, have been putting out stories on mainstream or social media that raise unfair allegations against the Islamic Republic of Iran. According to geopolitical experts, the U.S. and some Western countries are trying to induce disorder and mutiny in Iran by supporting and equipping hostile groups and enemies, arming them and providing them facilities and intelligence. The antagonist content published in the media covers various issues, including nuclear energy, human rights, ethnicities, and overall security.
What recently happened in our country, the enemy media played the role of atomic bombs, meaning that they committed a criminal act in an attempt to take over a country and a nation. You witnessed that some of the European state-sponsored media, which some may assume are the symbol of human rights, supported these criminal activities.
These groups and media have continuously encouraged unrest and disorder in Iran for the past few months and have gone so far as teaching civilians how to make a variety of incendiary weapons such as Molotov cocktails. They even go all out to tell people to infringe on state buildings and disarm Iran's military and security personnel and kill them when they can.
There's some media out there that reflect these as well, teaching how to make bombs and Molotov cocktails or giving assassination orders. For sure, authorities of the other countries would know these things. They know and grant permission for these activities so they can oppose any country that is independent and follows its national benefits.
So we currently have classic media like BBC, Iran International and Radio Farda, while we also have accounts of some cyber armies which are getting support from the Saudis and the Zionist regime army, with the Pentagon and the Intelligence Ministry of Saudis leading them. Not only these, but we also have rental accounts. So this shows we have the heaviest hybrid invasion in history on our hands right now.
Regardless of the never-ending politicized allegations about the Islamic Republic of Iran in the Western media, the reality is something else. During the past four decades or so, the Iranian people have endured the cruelest sanctions just because they want to enjoy their right to peaceful atomic energy. Despite complying with international obligations, Iran has faced maximalist pressure campaigns consisting of thousands of sanctions imposed by the last three U.S. administrations and their allies. Furthermore, many Iranian scientists, in addition to General Qasem Soleimani, Iran's hero in the fight against Daesh terrorism, have been assassinated by the U.S. and Israel.
I should also mention the attempt by the Americans and Zionists in the media for normalization of terrorism isn't a new thing. If you go back to 2006 and 2007, Abdul Malik Righi, the leader of the Jundullah terrorist group, would have an interview in the VOA as a civil and political activist. VOA called him the leader of People's Movement in Iran. People haven't forgotten these things. Or, for example, Radio Farda, which introduces itself as an organization associated with the CIA, is introducing different terrorists as civil activists.
After the coronavirus pandemic, at a time when Iran was trying to recover and revive its economy and social resources, the unfortunate death of an Iranian woman led to a major controversial campaign against the Islamic Republic. In this atmosphere, the United States and its allies, using their media, contrary to all the principles and rules of international law, have called for turmoil against Iran and asked protesters to resort to aggressive measures, destroying urban infrastructure and public and private properties. At the same time, Iranian law enforcement forces were killed due to the riots and by cold weapons or direct gunfire in the streets. According to the law, these people were just doing their legal duties to establish and maintain order.
Their goal is to produce lies. As I'm talking to you right now, it has been estimated that Iranian opposition media are producing a lie against people every 2 minutes. Today, a terrorist named Rahnavard was executed in Mashhad for stabbing and killing two of our Basiji forces, namely Mr. Zinyalzadeh and Rezazadeh, with a knife. These two were helping people during the riots to protect their properties. A criminal person kills these two youths with a knife on the street. Now, let's check what these Farsi-speaking media are saying about Rahnavard. They made him a hero and a political activist, and wouldn't call him a murderer. This very fact shows the nature of their mission and what they want to achieve.
Meanwhile, media reports indicate that cross-border smuggling of weapons and ammunition into Iran, destruction of public property, disruption of the democratic processes and public order, arson, vandalism, threat, intimidation, assault and battery, assassination, terror and lynching are only parts of the destructive and illegal actions taken by these so-called freedom fighters and defenders of human rights. Experts have suggested that most of the weapons used were foreign and came from outside the country. The overall scheme seemed to have been to disrupt order and security within the territories of the Islamic Republic.
The disintegration of a country is a hated act. Tearing apart nations and putting people against each other is obnoxious. But you would see this same action from some of the state-sponsored media like BBC. London-based media like Saudi International issue police force assassination orders in front of their cameras, stating that this is the people's right to kill a police officer who lawfully should implement social order.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here is how it looks on the page. Anadolu Agency says Iran may phase out morality police but mandatory hijab to stay. Mohammad Jafar Montazeri, Iranian Attorney General, said that the morality police force has nothing to do with the judiciary and was put to a standstill from the same place it was set up, referring to the Supreme Council of Cultural Revolution, an influential government body. The top prosecutor, however, hastened to add that the judiciary will continue to oversee the observance of behavioral patterns at the community level, a subtle signal that the mandatory dress code may remain in place whether or not the morality force survives. IRNA says, Iran sets deadline for Meta to introduce representative for country. Iran has sent a letter to U.S. technology company Meta, giving it 10 days after receiving the letter to take necessary measures in order for the company's platforms to continue activities in Iran. The letter written by the Supreme Council of Cyberspace also raised issues on which Iran had expressed protests against Meta. The issue include disseminating false news, instigating discriminatory behaviors, and spreading hatred, provoking unrest, violating Iran's national sovereignty and rights of users through applying double standards, and paving the ground for campaigns by terrorist groups on social media platforms affiliated to Meta. Noor News says the U.S. military uses fake people to deceive global public opinion. Meta Platforms company with the brand name Meta, with 2.8 billion users, most of whom are members of the popular platforms such as Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook, recently announced the U.S. military is deceiving people with fake accounts on Instagram and Facebook. The company's security experts have identified several groups of fake accounts that appear to be active as legal accounts and also operate on a wide range of other social networks such as Twitter, YouTube, and Telegram, but in fact do not belong to a specific real person. Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Yemen, Syria, and Algeria are mentioned in the explanation of these areas covered by the fake accounts of the U.S. Army as a target of these operations. Their content is mainly published in Persian, Arabic, and Russian languages using videos, slides, and articles. Previously, Western thinkers had talked about the way of managing public opinion and how false or even true news, images, and analyses can direct people's thoughts and minds in a calculated and selective manner. In the recent unrest in Iran, some media outlets, which naturally should be doing news, have become the coordination headquarters of rioters. For instance, the London-based Iran International, also known as the Saudi International within the Iranian circles, airs hostile messages, which are in contrast with Iran's national interest. It is observed by media experts that if a medium produces hatred instead of journalistic messages, it means that it has entered the scene with a special mission. The directors of Iran International have openly said they seek to topple the ruling system in Iran. In light of this type of approach, the Saudi-funded outlet has become an artillery that fires bullets instead of messages, promoting violence and trying to legitimize attacks on security forces under the name of the right to defense.
Right now, apart from Farsi-speaking opposition media, we have about 800,000 social media accounts that are promoting opposition activities, and 32,000 of these accounts are active and creating content each day. Apart from this cyber army, they also buy social accounts of the great part of the society or rent their accounts. For example, some celebrities were asked why were they so active in these riots while before it everything was normal for you. These ladies and gentlemen would say, we aren't aware of these activities in our accounts. It turned out that because they gave their accounts to an admin, it was the admins who took control and under the name of those celebrities would publish posts and narratives.
Accordingly, it has been reported by The Guardian that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who many believe is responsible for the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi, is the force behind Iran International. The station, which is operating out of Chiswick in London, has not denied claims that it receives its funding from the Saudi royal court.
For example, removing Press TV from some of the satellites, on the surface it seems to be against Press TV, but in reality it's against their people, not letting them hear a different voice. Let's not forget, countries that claim they are defending Iranian women's freedom are the same ones that, for instance, in places like France, can't tolerate hijab, and those with hijab can't work and study freely. They have the blood of millions on their hands. What did France do in Algeria, or England in many countries, including India, or the US in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? These countries have become defenders of human rights.
In a time when Europe hosts many channels that instigate violence and terrorism against Iran, European satellite operator Eutelsat decides to take the English language news network Press TV off the air. Yet another example of the West double standards, which is blatantly in conflict with the principles of freedom of expression. It is interesting to know that Ofcom, which regulates broadcasting media in the UK, has so far closed its eyes on the unlawful acts of the London-based terrorist TV channel Iran International. After all, promoting violence, encouraging murder and chaos, and teaching how to overthrow a government is entirely against the regulations of this entity.
Unfortunately, in Iran, the government doesn't have enough consideration of the importance of the media. We need to have an effective media. Those who compare our media with other countries, such as England or Saudi Arabia, should ask, how much support do our media get? How are they being evaluated by governmental organizations? Also, the infrastructural hardware supportive measures alongside the professional media programming can turn the future in our favor and immune us to any vulnerability.
In a recent comprehensive study done by the Fars News Agency, the performance of a few media outlets, including the BBC Persian affiliated with the British government, Iran International affiliated with the Saudi government, Voice of America, Radio Farda, and Manoto affiliated with the American government, show that they have published a total of 17,312 lies over 25 days about the recent events in Iran. In the survey, only the official website, Telegram channel, Twitter, and Instagram accounts of these media outlets were examined, and their TV networks were not included. The results indicated that the BBC Persian had a total of 58% lies, Iran International had a total of 53% lies, Manoto Network had a total of 49% lies, Voice of America had a total of 43% lies, Radio Farda had a total of 41% lies. Thus, over the observed 25 days period, on average, 48.8% of the news published by these media were false. That is, almost one out of every two pieces was fake news and disinformation. Furthermore, the five lies that were republished the most include the false claim about beating Mahsa Amini while in custody, false claims about the death of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, false claim about the fall of the city of Oshnaviye in West Azerbaijan province in Iran, false claim about the cause of Nikah Shakarami's death, the false claim about Sharif University bloodshed.
Here is where we say these opposition media produce a lie each minute and feed it to the people purposefully. Their purpose is to turn the great section of the society and people who are watching and are silent into an active opposition force. These people will not bond with the riot network easily. So to achieve this, there must be a media bridge for them. This type of media connection can be achieved with the same network I described earlier.
Filtering is like a prescription that can turn into an opportunity. We should have been better prepared. We can't abandon our people in this media invasion. We had to take some action. Fundamental measures are those three points I mentioned earlier. But at the same time, we do need some short-term actions to limit the opposition media and protect our nation from a sudden cyber invasion to some extent.
Meanwhile, in the latest attempt to sow discord between Iranian ethnicities, Islamic Republic's enemies assassinated the Sunni cleric Molavi Abdul Wahid Righi, a supporter of the Islamic Revolution. He was abducted and murdered by unidentified persons in the Iranian province of Sistan and Balochistan. The Sunni scholar was previously informed of threats made against him by various anti-government groups.
This hybrid warfare pretends to sell the BBC Persian network as a savior of the Iranian people, or the Iran International Network uses sympathy to bond itself with a great section of the society. But in the end, when we look at their actions, we see that they are moving towards the same slogan in the years 2011 and 2012 in Syria, which said that we are looking to destroy the establishment. But with this approach in Iran, it doesn't mean that they want to overthrow the government in Iran or only change the political structures. But they want to disintegrate Iran to the extent that there won't be a country named Iran on the map anymore, and you would have a different spectrum of people in regions like Kurdistan or Khuzestan torn apart.
Righi said that not even one member of the mosque he oversaw participated in the riots in Khash. The cleric at the time explained, "I told them no one is permitted to go out of the mosque because we knew hypocrites were out there and we knew what they were doing. We are aware of the plots of enemies and hypocrites."
In the year 2018, two leaders of terrorist parties traveled to the U.S. Mr. Mustafa Hejri, the leader of the Democratic Party of Iranian Kurdistan, and Abdullah Muqtadi, the leader of the Kamala Party. They secretly traveled to the U.S. and visited the Iran Bureau authorities in Pentagon. In that meeting, the authorities asked them to increase the level of their operations. After the meeting, when reporters asked Mr. Muqtadi about the nature of his travel to the U.S., he said, "We want to increase our military operations in Iran." When is this happening? Right when Trump is pursuing the initiation of the maximum pressure campaign against Iran.
Moreover, he said, "We love this country. The leader is our friend." Adding that, "This country will be no good to us, to Islam, and even to the families of Muslims after the possible fall of the Islamic establishment."
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same time next week and each week after. Bye for now. ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge. Oh,
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of As-Sahif Sajjadiyya for Al-Imam Zainul Abideen, where he seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from number of things, and we go to the part where he says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from ghafla, heedlessness. So our topic is heedlessness. First of all, we would like to send our condolences to all the Muslims around the world in the martyrdom of our dearly beloved Lady of Heaven, Fatimah al-Zahra, alayha salamullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he talks about the way where we can track and identify and also treat ourselves when it comes to ghafla. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the problem is, the symptoms of the problem, and how to treat it. So we know that people become ghafilin in this life. The more we indulge into sins, the more we indulge into, I don't know, things that we love in this world, the more we become what? Far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become ghafilin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he gives me and you the antidote and the medicine to forgetfulness and to ghafla. So since we're looking at it from a Quranic perspective, let's go through some of these ayat. Allah says the first treatment for heedlessness and ghafla is dhikr, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says it in Chapter Al-A'raf, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ, and remember your Lord first and foremost in yourself. تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Do it, you know, whether you're instead of being safe, instead of being fearful, whether you are by yourself hidden in the morning, in the afternoon, and don't be among the ghafilin. وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. The more you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, the more aware we are. The more aware we are, the less sinful we are. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah a lot. Let's take a short break and then we will continue right after.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We're talking about ghafla, heedlessness. Allah says, don't be among the ghafileen. Remember me, and remember me a lot to exit that state. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, udhkurullah. That's a command, an order from Allah. Remember Allah. And dhikran kathira, not just once or twice. No, keep it running out throughout the day. And he says, وَسَبُّحُوهُ بِكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, and remember him, glorify him, morning, day, afternoon, night. Constantly we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first of the antidotes and the medication towards ghafla. The second thing Allah says in the Quran, istighfar, you know, seeking istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for forgiveness, is also something that we should do constantly. And we remember that we need to do istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Is because first, He sees what we do. Okay, so I might be a ghafil, but He's not. He can see me, right? Allah says, everything in His hand. As-samawati matwiyatun biyaminah. The entire heavens and earth Allah, in his palm, he can see everything and he can see everyone. So we have to be very aware. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, he said, be careful because you seek forgiveness and istighfar and become dhakir, because the punishment is also severe. Allah says, inna batsha rabbaka la shadeed. Surely the punishment of your Lord is severe. And batsh is one of these words where Allah uses in extreme. So sometimes you say to a person, I will punish you. But sometimes you say to him, I will destroy you. So punishment and destroying in this sense is completely different. You're trying to give a different meaning. So one means like you will do something harmful, and one means like I will annihilate you. You will be completely annihilated. So Allah says, "Inna batsha rabbaka lashadid." The annihilation of Allah, the destruction of Allah is going to be severe. That is something that me and you, we need to hit the brakes and say, okay, oh Allah, I am sorry. So being sorry and being asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets a person from that mental state of being forgetful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also when it comes to the zalimeen, those who oppressors, those who oppress people because of their ghafla, Allah says, Allah will take them with strength. It's not going to be done in easily manner. No, it will be very strong. Let's take a short break and then we will continue right after.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So Allah says, always and constantly ask me for forgiveness. If you ask me for forgiveness, you'll stay alert, you stay aware, and you're no longer ghafil. But there are a few things you need to keep in mind. That you need to keep in mind that I am watching you constantly. That my punishment is very severe. That, you know, I will take things, you know, with power, not lightly. Also, Allah says, I am constantly warning you of myself. Allah says in chapter Ali Imran, verse 28, وَيُحَذُّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Allah warns you of himself. Because most people assume that, oh, you know, Allah punishes, Allah does this. Allah does that. Yes, true. But it is I and you who will give him the green card. Allah will never punish me if I'm a good person. Allah will never put a person in hellfire if they're good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never put any person in heaven if they're bad. The choice to go to heaven and hell and to be punished is ours and only ours to make, not Allah. Allah says, look, I'm here. I'm warning you that I am here. What you do next is your move. But do it carefully. If you are reckless, if you are heedless, if you are ghafil and aware, it will cost you everything. I won't let that slide. And when I don't come blame me for it. Blame yourself because you decided to be ghafil and unaware. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran constantly, in many verses, in trying to warn us, He is giving us all this ayat of adab, of punishment, of this and that, just so we can stay awake, stay alert. I mean, when you're driving from one city to another and you see all these signs that says, okay, 50 meters to go, 30 meters to go, 10 meters to go, this brings a sign, you know, of hope in you, a feeling of hope. Same thing with Allah. When He gives signs of adab or even signs of heaven, He's trying to keep us awake and aware. We will leave it here and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.